Well, for 364 days out of the year, the following journalists wreak havoc on our country. But today is the day that we hold them all accountable. Welcome to the Ruthless Variety program and the fifth annual Comfortably Smug Liberal Hack Tournament. Fellas, very excited to be with you today.
Half a decade of holding these journos accountable. We've had multiple years with over a million votes cast because it's you, the people, who decide who's the biggest liberal hack in the country. And I got to tell you, every year the competition gets more stiff.
I know that the selection committee spent an inordinate amount of time poring over all the various submissions this year. The greatest listeners in the business, the minions here on the Ruthless Variety program, provided some thoughts. Where do you think this all shakes out before we get into the brackets, fellas?
I think it's going to be the most competitive tournament thus far. There's been a lot of shakeups in media here over the last few years, and so I think what we're going to see is some breakout performances by some of these hacks. So I'm really looking forward to that. I think for our new listeners, though, who maybe aren't familiar with this as part of the yearly tradition of the Variety program, we should explain how this all works. So we're going to be having the revealing of our bracket. And then the voting, as Smug alluded to, is done by you, the people. And it'll all be done on Twitter, on his Twitter account, where you can just vote there online for your favorite hacks.
I love it.
Well, here's the thing. I agree with you, Michael. I think this is going to be the most competitive tournament we've seen in years. The fifth annual has President Trump back on the scene. So you have a lot of these liberal hacks who are fighting amongst themselves for the most ridiculous takes, the most ridiculous stories. And I really can't wait to see what the committee came up with this year.
Yeah. A reminder to the audience, we start with four divisions. It's the fake news division out of Atlanta, the establishment division in Georgetown, the liberal activists out in Brooklyn, and the way too online folks out in New Haven, Connecticut. With all of that being said, fellas, I think we should get right into it.
Let's get started.
Can't wait.
The number one seed from the Washington Post, Philip Bump.
I mean, leading the fake news bracket, couldn't be a better pick. He's been a one-man powerhouse for a while.
We ought to just make a quick announcement about the 16 seed, which typically does not get a lot of attention. They see this as like something you blow through. Mika Brzezinski of MSNBC. That seems like a little bit more of a difficult matchup than a number one overall seed would typically get.
I think this might be the first upset of this year's tournament, and I'm predicting that. If you have seen what they have done on Morning Joe to defend Joe Biden's clear dementia, I think she's got a real shot of making a historic upset here.
It is possible. And with all that, let's go to Bump HQ to get some react.
Hi, Josh. In a shocking turn of events, there is no headquarters for Bump, as the Washington Post event planner was laid off after the WAPO took a $100 million operating loss. I reached Bump by phone earlier today to ask him how it's possible that the Post could be so broke that they couldn't even throw him a watch party. And he responded, quote, "I don't know. I have no idea what that means. I just said I don't know. What do you want me to say?" End quote. Back to you in the studio.
Okay, coming up for the rest of the bracket here in the fake news division, Greg Sargent. He is a perennial powerhouse, taking on Natasha Bertrand this year. Fellas?
Yeah, I think with Bertrand coming in, I really like her in this spot. I think she's going to upset Sargent because Bertrand is looking for something fake to write about Donald Trump. It's where she made her bread and butter. The guy is back on the scene, and I really think she's gonna sing in this tournament. Mm-hmm.
Moving down the bracket, Kyle Chaney, a strong five seed this year, facing off against Julia Ioffe.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, you would think by now she'd give up the, like, Russia shtick. But hey, if it keeps paying her bills, she's still dancing with it, so she's here.
Moving down the bracket, Kara Swisher taking on Sam Stein of Politico.
I think this is another place where I might be able to see an upset. Swisher is like definitely like a strong media reporter, but I wonder if she has sort of the breakout breadth of viewership that somebody like a Sam Stein does. And so ultimately, I think we might be brewing an upset there as well.
Well, the next matchup will take the baloney man, the sixth seed Justin Barragona, fellas. That is a big matchup facing off of Bill Kristol.
I like the upset here too, fellas, because Crystal's name is very well known. And among our listeners, among the minions, this is a guy who is a champion, and I think he's going to upset Baragonia in that first round.
Not so fast, my friend. I would say that Mr. Baloney here, Justin Baloney, personally attacked Comfortably Smug after our appearance on CNN, and I don't think the minions are going to let that pass.
I think the listeners may have something to say about that as we move down the bracket. Heidi Prisbilla, somebody we've become more aware of over the years, facing off against Sahil Kapoor.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's a garbage guy, sure, but she has been dropping the worst takes on the Supreme Court, essentially pushing court packing the best she can. Hopefully she's held accountable.
George Stephanopoulos of ABC, typically thought of as more mainstream, but he's certainly peaked at the right time with the Nancy Mace interview the other day. He's going to be facing off against a one-time formidable contender who has fallen in recent years, Jim Acosta.
Yeah, I think you said it. I would look for Jim Acosta to come back next year on the heels of the Nancy Mace interview. I think that George Stephanopoulos will not only win this first round, I think he's going to go deep.
The final matchup in the fake news division pits off Aaron Blake of the Washington Post. He's going to face Scott Wong. Wong's still at the Hill, isn't that right, Ashbrook?
He's at NBC now.
Oh, but, okay. Well, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, he's moved on to NBC, but I think you look for Aaron Blake to win this one. The guy has been writing Democrat press releases for a very long time, and I think a lot of people remember.
So that's the fake news division. We're going to move down to the establishment division in Georgetown. They love their cocktails there, and more importantly, they love their number one seed, newcomer to the field, Jen Psaki.
I mean, that's an incredible story. You know, this is the ultimate establishment move to go straight from the White House to MSNBC to continue parroting the lines for the DNC. I mean, to go directly to number one, it's well-deserved.
Yeah, she's been working for this moment for a very, very long time, and I think a lot of our audience just can't wait to see it happen.
Before we go to Psaki HQ, she's facing off in a play-in game, and this is a familiar matchup between David French and Tim Miller, two extremely never-Trump Republicans who have become Democrats in recent years.
Yeah, you know, sort of the mid-majors of the never-Trump movement. They deserve each other and their placement at a 16 play-in game.
All of that.
NIT level, we're just happy to be here.
Let's go to Psaki HQ.
There's an air of unencumbered self-righteousness and intellectual inbreeding here in Georgetown as the elite meet over cocktails and canapés. It's caviar and trash takes as Team Psaki celebrates a number one seed against a play-in opponent. There's near universal agreement among experts that Psaki has a great chance to make it to the Final Four since she's pretty much remained the spokeswoman for the White House at her new job on MSNBC. Back to you in the studio, Josh.
So ultimately, they're going to have to run up against a very strong 8-9 matchup. This is Nicole Wallace of MSNBC, who is always has a formidable body of work, facing off against Steve Schmidt, who I think has taken a step back this year, fellas.
I have to agree with you. I think this is one of those prototypical matchups we always worry about in Hack Madness, where you've got somebody who's very, like, capable of dropping bombs on Twitter, like a Steve Schmidt, versus somebody who has a Nicole Wallace footprint in media. And you just don't know which way the minions are going to go in a matchup like this.
You really don't. And they're going to face off against a 12-5 matchup, which is happens a lot. There's a lot of upsets in here. I look at this as a repeat of last year's matchup. May have a different outcome this time around. Alyssa Farah of ABC's The View and CNN against Maximum Boot.
Yeah, Das Boot is back. And I think Alyssa Farah is starting to fade. She continues to fight for relevancy. She's lucky. That's a generous 5 seed. I would not be surprised by a Maximum Boot upset.
I think being on The View, though, gives her an opportunity to run deep in this turn. I think it's boom or bust with her. I don't know how the minions are going to perceive it, but ultimately, I got her penciled in for a deep run.
Oh, interesting, because yeah. I'm with Smug here. I look for Max to give her the boot.
Okay.
All right, the 413 in the establishment division pits Stephanie Ruhle, MSNBC's absolutely illiterate economist, against Dana Milbank, who's somebody, once again, years ago at the beginning of the tournament, very formidable contender. Haven't heard much from him lately.
Yeah, Milbank is an old school staple of this bracket. He's probably never going to go anywhere. I really think that he's going to win here just because the people who have been reading the Washington Post, what few are left that do it, know that this guy's liberal takes are among the most outrageous. So I like Milbank here.
a return to greatness for our next number six seed, Rachel Maddow, who fell out of last year's tournament after a brief hiatus from MSNBC. She's back looking for to start her run up against Rick Wilson.
And that's, I think, you know, a critical part of the story we're starting to see in the media landscape is the good news is some of these folks are losing their jobs. So when they lose their job, they're out of the bracket. But Rachel Maddow is gainfully employed yet again, and so she returns.
We'll move down, and Tom Nichols returns as a Never Trump number three seed. I think he's a touch overseeded this year, but he's facing off against Politico's Rachel Bade.
I mean, that's a tough matchup. I think, Ashbrook, you were going to say you had an issue with her being a hack writer, right?
What I was going to say is that the committee is biased towards contenders for our King of the Hill matchups, and I think that you see the overseeding is a part of that. I think it's going to be very interesting to see what happens here. I actually think that Tom Nichols is going to beat Bade, but she's writing every single day. She's giving people lots of reason to pick her instead.
The 7-10 matchup is going to be one to watch here. John Harwood fought his way back into the field after being fired from multiple places.
multiple!
Lately CNN, but he has grabbed a hold of a CNBC. I don't even know what to call it. It shows up online every once in a while. It's so bad he made the field. He's going to be facing off against Jonathan Cohen, 10 seed.
I mean, you know, Harwood, if nothing else, has an absolute commitment to shamelessness. He did the interview with Joe Biden months and months ago. So whenever people say, why haven't I seen Joe Biden do an interview? You can watch John Harwood basically, you know, babysit Joe Biden and claim that it's journalism. He's well-deserving of that 7 seed.
Rounding out the establishment division, to your point, Mr. Ashbrook, this is where the King of the Hill over-indexes because Sherry Jacobus, finds herself at a 2 seed facing off against Jonah Goldberg.
Yeah, I think this one's going to be a blowout. Goldberg just doesn't even belong in the game against Jacobus. She's going to win here. She's going to win big, and I think she's going to go deep this tournament.
Well, what a terrific look at the left side of the bracket with fake news and establishment. We're going to move to the right with liberal activists in Brooklyn, and that starts no other place than a two-time champion, Jennifer Brainworms Rubin.
I mean, she's the Mike Krzyzewski of this tournament for a reason. Yeah, you know, the best takes for the longest period of time, a lot of appearances on cable news. So, I mean, it's well-deserved. I mean, this is somebody you always got to look at as a contender.
She's facing off against a fairly formidable 16 seed in Ryan Lizza.
Again, it's just a tough matchup. I mean, you're facing off against someone who's committed to nothing but hackery and cats.
Yeah, no, I think Jen Rubin's going to win this one.
Let's go out to Rubin HQ to get some reaction live from the scene.
Well, Josh, I'll be frank. It smells like cigarettes, smoke, and cats. But that hasn't dulled the excitement as Rubin tries for her third Hackmanis championship. Now, questions remain whether Jen still has it after Taylor Renz took the crown at last year's Hack Madness, and it wouldn't surprise me if these two elderly champions ended up facing off in the Final Four. Back to you.
So the 8-9 matchup is going to push the top of the ticket here with Brandi Zadrozny and Ken Delanian. Sort of in the same similar issue set. We see a lot of stuff that comes out of them that feels the same. Who has the greater flair this year?
Well, I mean, you know, there have been many people who've been saying that for years. Ken Delaney has been paid by the CIA to push their talkers. I wouldn't be surprised if she was as well. At this point, it's so funny to see folks in the liberal activist bracket who basically are pushing the deep state talkers. It really says a lot about the realignment of journalism, realignment of the parties.
The 5-12 matchup in this case seems to favor the high seed from my perspective. It's Aaron Rupar, who's up against Jonathan Allen of NBC.
Yeah, this one's a no-brainer. It's Rupar all the way.
A newcomer to this year's field, in the number four seed, Mara Gay. Recall, fellas, Mara is the sister of former Harvard president Claudine Gay, who did a formidable body of work through the fall and early winter defending the indefensible at Harvard University. She's going to be facing off against perennial powerhouse Keith Olbermann.
Yeah, I mean, hackery is the family business, but I mean, Keith Olbermann, I think with his takes of demanding the Supreme Court be dissolved, he's underseeded. I would not be surprised by an upset there.
We go back to The View with the sixth seed and Joy Behar, who's taking on Eli Mistal.
I think with all of the, to Ashbrook's earlier point, with all the political news, with the legal process of Donald Trump here over the summer and fall, I feel like Ely's got a little bit of an advantage here despite being underseeded against Joy Behar.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting take. Well, look, they're going to run into buzzsaws here down the bracket. Jane Mayer, one of the worst journalists I've ever seen up close and personal, is facing off against Joe Scarborough.
Here's a situation where you got Scarborough at a number 14 seed, way underseeded. People are calling him Senior Bloodbath because of some of the great moments they've seen in the recent days on his program. He is going to blow Jane Mayer out of the water.
Juddlegum is back with a 7th seed. He's going to be facing off against Lawrence O'Donnell. And interesting, you're not going to find him very many places, but for those of you who do, you're going to be outraged.
I mean, that's the thing, is a lot of the shift in journalism, if you're like, where has this person gone? Juddlegum's a prime example. You start a website, you drop your terrible takes there, and then you think you're a journalist.
We go to the ending, rounding out the liberal activist division in Brooklyn, the 2-seed Oliver Darcy. I can't think of a 2-seed that has a stronger position to run the bracket than this gentleman from CNN, and he's facing off a newcomer, Stephen Massey of The Economist.
That's right, and again, it's one of these people who've been dropping their Supreme Court takes. It's sad for this guy because he sold his soul essentially to drop everything that fix the court and these kind of court packing groups want to do. And what's he doing? He's facing Darcy.
Just a tough draw.
Just the destroyer.
Just a tough draw. And so that rounds out the liberal activist division in Brooklyn. We got to go all the way to New Haven for the Way 2 Online division. And that's where we find our defending champion, Taylor Lorenz.
Yeah, absolute powerhouse. I do wonder about her conditioning and how she's going to be able to perform deep into this tournament while she's still wearing a mask in the year of our Lord 2024. But I have a powerhouse nonetheless, so I expect her to go pretty deep.
Seems like she almost makes headlines on a week-by-week basis. That is something
to watch as
you look through how this unfolds over the next 3 weeks. She's facing off against a newcomer, Brianna Joy Gray of The Intercept.
Yeah, I mean, some of the most delusional takes about Gaza and Hamas that you'll ever see. I think it's well-deserved from our new entry to be here at 16. Just in against an absolute powerhouse, but I think she's earned it.
Pro-Hamas gets you into this year's bracket. There's no question about it. Yeah. With all of that, let's go to Lorenz HQ and find out what's going on.
It's TikTok teens and MSNBC screens here at Lorenz headquarters. Yet it's total silence from the crowd as everyone stares into their phones while wearing masks a full 4 years after the COVID pandemic. The ambiguously aged Lorenz seems confident against 16 seed David Frum. But will she have enough momentum to take the crown again this year? Only time will tell. Josh?
They're going to have to ultimately face off against an 8-9 matchup with two familiar names, Dave Weigel and Chris Hayes.
I think Chris Hayes has this. This is a guy who has very, very well known among the minions and has been dropping lib takes for quite some time. I think I give him the advantage here.
The 5-12 matchup, Yamiche Alcindor, a repeat of last year's matchup against Nicole Hannah-Jones.
I mean, yeah, sure, Yamiche has been dropping takes. I got to say, though, Nicole Hannah-Jones, I think someone looked up, she's written like 2 articles in the past year, but maintains this presence online. I guess like that's what the New York Times is paying for.
Yeah, imagine getting into a tournament with a 2-0 record. It's unbelievable.
It's amazing.
Some variables for people to consider as they look at that matchup.
Yeah, here's the thing. Yamiche is tough, but I'm not sure this is her year. I think if Donald Trump wins in November, Yamiche, I would look for her next year to just storm this bracket.
Somebody you can usually set your watch to in a tournament like this is Joy Reid from MSNBC. Her takes have gotten no better over the last year. She's going to be formidable. She's facing off against Ben Smith.
I mean, Ashbrook, you were saying that Ben Smith's been just an absolute terrible journalist for some time. I want your thoughts on that.
I think Joy Reid's going to smoke him. I don't think he has a chance. I really don't.
No question about it. You move down the bracket with Paul Krugman at number 6. He's going to face off against Matt Iglesias. You have to look hard to find their work, but when you do, again, troubling.
I mean, Krugman, he's the man famous for saying that the internet's going to be a fad. He's been the bad takes game for a while. He deserves that seeding.
Molly Jung Fast takes the 3 seed. She's facing off against Daniel Dale, somebody who is hugely popular in the meat of the Trump era. now making a comeback, folks.
Yeah, Dale has been quiet over the last couple of years. And if you're wondering why, the answer is because a Democrat is in the White House. There are no facts to check over at CNN. So now that Trump is back on the scene, he is becoming more vocal. And I think that he is going to surprise some people in this tournament.
Airtime in abundance with a Republican on the scene. And speaking of it in abundance, legal analysis is something important to this year's field. And that we find Larry Tribe. He's going to be facing off against Kyle Griffin in the 10th seat.
Yeah, Tribe has really been filling in the post-Russiagate era for media commentary on cable news, talking about how Donald Trump's going to be found guilty of all these cases that keep getting delayed and bringing up the hopes of the resistance, which I really appreciate, and I expect that's why he'll probably win in this first round.
Mm-hmm. Well, we round out the Way 2 Online division with Ben Collins. Is he at Yahoo now, folks?
Where is Ben Collins?
Where is Ben Collins?
I mean, that's the thing is, again, it's you don't know what these media companies are doing when they hire people like this, not to write articles, just to drop their takes online. It's unbelievable. This guy's had, you know, sabbaticals where people have been like, it's been 180 days, 90 days since this guy has written anything. Yet he remains omnipresent Way 2 Online, as the division is named. Dropping terrible takes.
He's going to face off against a newcomer this year's field, Politico's Eugene Daniels.
Yeah, Daniels rounds out the Politico playbook, so he is producing content on a daily basis. I just think Ben Collins is probably going to win this one.
So that's the field for Hack Madness, as you remember. The way this works out is matches up very cleanly with what we deal with March Madness over the next 3 weeks. You'll be voting online on Comfortably Smug's Twitter account. We look forward to seeing how this all plays out. But let me get some initial takes, fellas, as you look at the field as a whole. Do you see some early favorites here?
I think my lesson that I've taken from picking who I think is going to win in matchups, I feel like the most powerful tool is TV. Folks who are on TV tend to outperform people who write. We've seen it for the past 4 years. I wouldn't expect that to change. But I think, you know, this year, you saw a lot more of these writers try to expand their footprint, whether it's on a Chinese spyware app, TikTok. They've been trying to expand their portfolio because, hey, they could lose their job at any time.
I think the thing I'm looking at number one here as the most interesting matchup is a Jen Psaki, Alyssa Farah, Sweet 16.
That is a bold prediction.
I think that could be an incredible matchup. And ultimately, I think it determines who comes out of that establishment division.
Fascinating. Ashbrook?
I already know my final four.
Oh, wow.
I already know my final four, and I'll tell you right now, it's George Stephanopoulos. I think he's going to upset people in fake news.
Wow.
I think he's going to upset people. I think Jen Psaki, first-time player, is going to go all the way to the final four. I think Jennifer Rubin is going to
She has never once missed a Final Four in all of the years we've been doing this.
She's going to be right where she belongs, facing off against Taylor Lorenz to make it to the championship game. So those are the four teams that I really think are going to stand out this
time. Well, the seventh seed with Stephanopoulos is certainly a leap, but everything after that seems pretty self.
I think that what we saw in Nancy Mace and what we've seen out of him recently has been on the top of everybody's Twitter feeds. I think we got a huge audience that's ready to vote for him.
Yeah, Ashbrook's the guy who picks all the number one seeds except for one. I mean, outstanding analysis.
Gentlemen, I'll just say it looks to me, at least on the right side of this bracket, that you have two number two seeds that are going to go pretty deep.
Yep.
I mean, if you look at Oliver Darcy.
Yeah.
And Ben Collins, you're talking about two of the day in and day out performers. There is no question they're going to be putting out horrible content. The question is it at the right time, at the right moment, we're having some of these Sweet 16 matchups where you could get a, you know, Matt Iglesias or Daniel Dale? It just seems to me like Collins is going all the way through this bracket, probably running into a buzzsaw of Taylor Lorenz. But again, you move up. Look at Darcy.
Yeah.
Is there anybody there that's going to stop Darcy until he gets to Jennifer Rubin? And even in that matchup, I think he's got a puncher's chance.
No, I think you make some great points. And if I'm looking at that Way 2 Online bracket out of New Haven and I'm looking for an upset to Taylor Lorenz, I do not look to Ben Collins. I actually look to Joy Reid for the reason that you stated, because she's producing content on a routine basis and doing things that are showing up in everybody's Twitter feeds. So I think if we see an upset there, it's going to be in one of the earlier rounds.
And likewise, you were saying Oliver Darcy earlier, I think you could end up with an upset against Joe Scarborough in that 14th seed for the same reason. Like, this is somebody who day in and day out is on Morning Joe with the talking points from the Biden administration, and I think that gives him an advantage to run deep and outperform his seed.
Well, this is one of the great spectacles in all of journalism, all of politics, and all of media. We're happy to bring it to you once again with the 5th annual Comfortably Smug Liberal Hack Tournament. Thanks so much for playing along with us. In the 5th annual Comfortably Smug Liberal Hack Tournament.